So, hello everybody. This is the last talk of the session, last but not least, of course. And you will learn something about the tickless kernel, about the adaptive tickless kernel. And the presentation is given by Friedrich Weisbecker. I hope I pronounced it right, is it? So it's your stage.
Okay. Oh, the microphone works. Okay. So it's going to be hard to speak right after Steven. Maybe I should have taken some vitamin or... But, well, I do my best. So, like Steve, I work for Red Hat. I'm also paid to work on my hobby. And sometimes I even feel guilty about it. I have been working on several areas on the kernel, including tracing with Steve, and also C groups these last times. And I have also worked these two last years on trying to reduce the tick, timer interrupt tick on the kernel. So before talking about the tick, talking about the tickless thing, let's talk about what is the tick. What is it used for? So the tick is a periodic event happening at a fixed tunable rate. You can configure this rate while configuring your kernel before building it. It's usually a constant value that you cannot change afterward. And it's expressed in hertz. So this is the number of events that happened per second. And it ranges from 100 to 1,000. For example, in the x86 architecture. The more you raise the value and the better latency responses you have. So 1,000 hertz fits well for a desktop environment, but 100 fits better for a server because the lower is the value and the better is the throughput too. So this event is implemented using an interrupt. So we typically configure a hardware clock at a given frequency, and the hardware clock fires some interrupts at the rates that have been configured by the user. So the role of this timer tick is it acts like a heartbeat. This is the heartbeat of the system. It makes the things moving forward. It maintains the time and maintains the internal state of the system. One of the main roles of the timer tick is to maintain the time progression inside the kernel. So we have several kind of time representation in the kernel. We have the GFIs, which is a unit of time that is the number of ticks that have happened since the kernel has booted. It is a relative clock from the boot. And it is exclusively used by the kernel. It's never used by users. Well, maybe sometimes it's used by user space, but it's not supposed to. It's only used to make the things moving forward inside the kernel and have a timestamp to refer to execute asynchronous works. And the second one is the world time, which is the time of day. It's a timestamp, an absolute one, that represents the time from the beginning of the day as a couple of seconds and nanoseconds. And so this time, this is not a timestamp used by the kernel, but actually by user space through the get time of day system call. So this couple of time maintenance of GFIs and time of day, this is called the timekeeping. And this duty of timekeeping is taken by only one CPU. So if you have 1,000 CPU running, each having their timer interrupt, only one of these CPUs will take the charge of this timekeeping. So the second role of the timer interrupt is to run asynchronous functions that are executed at a given time. So we have a very important class of timer function execution, which is a timer list. So this is based on GFIs. One define a function and the time in GFIs when this function must fire, and then this will fire at the time that has been that has been asked later, and this is handled by the timer interrupt. The timer interrupt polls continuously on the CPU and looks after timer lists that are enqueued and waiting to be executed. And we have a second class of timer interrupt, which are the eTimer, POSIX CPU timers, rLimit CPU timers. So they are not based on global GFIS progression, but actually only on GFIS progression inside the process. This is what we call CPU time. For example, in this picture, we have two tasks executing on the same CPU. The first one, A, executes during 3 ticks, and the second one, B, when A is preempted by B and executes during 2 ticks. So here, the global time is of 5 GFIS. So if we configure a timer list on the beginning of this slice, it will execute 5 GFIS later. But if we configure a timer following a CPU time based GFIS, it wouldn't execute. If, for example, I enqueue a timer for the task A, CPU time based, it wouldn't execute 5 GFIS later, but we would need to wait for A to come back on the CPU and wait for 2 more ticks for the timer to execute. We have one more class that is widely used on the kernel, which is the high resolution timer. So this class of timer is actually different. It has it doesn't have a per GFI granularity, but a nanosecond granularity. And it's a lower level timer. In fact, the timer tick is implemented by the high resolution timer. So as in this picture, the high resolution timer tick fires and executes the timer tick function, which is tick sket timer here. And then from there only we look after the GFIS-based timers. So we have this stack of timers happening on the kernel every tick. Another outstanding role that the tick plays on the kernel is to maintain the scheduler internal state. So its main job here is to maintain the fairness. So we have two types of fairness. We have the local fairness, which is to ensure that every task competing inside the CPU have an equal share of load, equal share of CPU time. And we have another kind of fairness, which is the fairness across all the CPUs, which is about trying to ensure that each CPU have an equal load of tasks. For example, we don't want one CPU to run 1,000 tasks and another CPU that runs only one task. Otherwise, we have a very bad balancing of the load across the CPUs. So the tick is maintaining this fairness on the local scope by using the preemption. So if a task has run for too long and another task is waiting for the CPU, we use the preemption to replace the previous task by another one. So the timer tick polls on the CPU to ensure this is done correctly and frequently. And the load balancing, the tick is polling on the CPU and gathers all the statistics about the loads on the current CPU and also tries to pull tasks from remote CPUs to give the equal share. So the timer tick plays a big role here. Another role that is played by the tick is to maintain the RCU internal state. So RCU, who knows RCU? Okay, 5, 10 people. This is a lockless mechanism used by the internally by the kernel. This is an acronym for read, copy, update. I won't actually detail the thing deeply, but this is all about readers and writers, readers being able to run concurrently. And also, readers are allowed to run concurrently against the writer. So this is what is difference against reader-writer lock, for example. On the other hand, the writers still have to synchronize themselves. So how it works, typically the writer waits for every readers to finish their read side critical sections. And once this is done, we call that a grace period, the end of a grace period. Once this is done, we execute a callback that the writer desires to execute. So here the RCU uses the tick on both sides, from the reader and from the writer. So let's take this in this picture. We have CPU 0 that is a writer. CPU 0, on the very beginning of this time slice, asks for every CPUs to notify when they have finished their read side critical section. In red, we have these read side critical sections. CPU 2 has a first timer interrupt happening during read side critical section, so it cannot notify. But it notifies on the second one, where there is no more read side critical section. So it, CPU 2 notifies there on CPU 0 that the that it's not anymore using RCU. CPU 1 does the same thing after the third interrupt, does its own notification, and then CPU 0 can finally close the grace period and then execute its asynchronous callback. So here the timer tick is used on both sides. On the read side to poll and find the end of read side critical sections, and from the writer to notify, to check periodically that the readers have well completed the grace period. And another role played by the timer tick is the process time accounting. I guess that many of you know the time command that can measure the time spent by a command on the system and on the user space. So just a quick demonstration. So here I have measured, okay, you cannot see, great. I won't insist. So. So. We have a time command that lets one to measure the time spent in system and in user space by a command. This is implemented using the timer tick as well. The timer tick, each time it fires, it checks where it has interrupted the code. If it has interrupted the code in user space, it will account the tick in user space. And if it was in kernel space, it accounts the tick in kernel space. And same for idle. And this is how we can measure the time spent by a task. And we have other kinds of accounting, which is, for example, IRQ time, fine-grained accounting, or BSD, process accounting, which I don't know anything about. So, but all these things are maintained by the timer tick. And we have other things like global load tracking, IRQ work, which are asynchronous functions to be executed in interrupt contexts. The printk tick that needs the tick to print the things to the console without any problems while acquiring the lock in unsafe places, and many other things I forgot. So this is the list of all the things handled by the timer tick. So now we would like to stop this tick. So there are several reasons for this. We have one and configuration option in the kernel that arrived in 2.6.21. And this is a feature that lets one to stop the tick when the CPU goes idle. So if the CPU has no useful task to run, it executes a special task that is called the idle task. And this idle task tries to stop the timer tick and enter into low power mode to economize, to save energy. So before this feature arrived, we had the timer tick running on this idle task, and it was consuming a lot of useless electricity. So now we have a new set of API, tick-no-hertz idle enter, which stops the tick, and tick-no-hertz idle exit, which restarts the tick when we have a new task pending on the CPU ready to be executed. So, yeah, okay. So why, when the CPU has nothing to do, it doesn't need the timer tick because we don't need to account G fees or account the load. There is no load, and the G fees can be computed later. So we have the timer tick. If we have the timer tick running, it consumes CPU energy because it wakes up the CPU from a low power mode. And it does that periodically from 100 to 1,000 times per second. So it also prevents the idle task to enter into deep low power mode. So we need this timer interrupt to be stopped in order to enter into deep low power mode, right? Oh, yeah. So now we would like to stop the tick further, even if the kernel is doing useful things, even if it is running buzzy. So there is an interest in many areas here. There is an interest in the real-time tree. In the real-time tree, we try to lower as much as possible the critical sections. Critical sections are places where the CPU is not preemptible. So this induces latencies, which is very undesirable in the real-time tree. And so being able to stop the tick would reduce the coverage of IRQs on the system and then reduce all the critical sections, which means less latencies overall. There is also an interest in HPC. So HPC is high-performance computing. This is about running one task per CPU. So this is a very particular workload. The guys have like 1,000 CPUs and they are running one task per CPU and they try to maximize all the CPU utilization on these workloads. So they don't want to be disturbed by crap like the timer interrupts and things like this. So this is this would be also very interesting because well, the timer tick is consuming a lot of CPU time on these workloads, and it also trash the cache, CPU cache. So we may gain a few percentage of the CPU utilization by removing the tick in this kind of workload. And overall, there is a global interest in removing useless IRQs, obviously, because if an IRQ is useless, then it consumes CPU time for no good reason. So the problem is, after we look all the things that are handled by the timer tick, now we need to find other ways to accomplish this work. We need to find other ways to drive the time progression. Something that doesn't use periodic events, but rather on-demand events. So the good thing is we can reuse the existing infrastructure that works for idle in order to stop the tick, but we need much more, in fact. About the time progression, so the couple of G fees and time of day, we actually still need one CPU to maintain this. We don't have the choice for now. Maybe one day we'll be able to remove the GFI's timestamp, and maybe we could use another way to retrieve the time of the day. But for now, we really need to keep at least one CPU with the timer tick. So now the question is, how do we choose the CPU? We should perhaps define a user interface to force one specific CPU to handle this this duty. We don't know yet how to handle that. Concerning the global the timer lists, which are based on global GFI's countdown, the current tick stop infrastructure used by idle already covers that. We actually don't stop the tick if we have a timer list enqueued. we instead defer the tick stop, the next tick to this next timer list expiration time. So this is already covered. On the other hand, we have the virtual e-timers, POSIX CPU timers, which are based on CPU time countdown. So this is actually not covered by the idle tick stop because idle doesn't have such kind of timers. So while this issue is actually a bit tricky, I think that as long as we have this kind of timers, we just need to continue with the periodic tick and just shut it down once we have executed the timer, once it has expired. This shouldn't be a real issue because these timers, I think, are pretty seldom used. Concerning the scheduler, so the timer tick is used for preemption. But the good news is if we have only one task running on the CPU, we don't need preemption, obviously. So we can just remove the tick in this case if we have only one task running on the CPU. And maybe in the future, if we have several tasks competing on the same CPU, we could just defer the next timer tick to the next time we want to preempt the task. So this would be an anticipation rather than polling on the CPU all the time to check if something needs to be preempted. We would need to be more clever. Concerning load balancing, I have no idea what to do with that. Concerning RCU, from the writer's side, if we have a local callback to execute, which means we have to wait for a grace period notified by the other CPUs, which are the readers. In this case, if we have a local callback enqueued, we just need to keep the timer tick as long as we don't have, as we haven't executed the callback. And so now the issue is more tricky if we are a reader. If we are inside the kernel, we could be executing any kind of RCU read side critical section anytime. So if we don't have the timer tick anymore, we need a way to notify to the writer when we have no more, when we are no more inside an RCU read side critical section. So one thing that we could do is from the writer send an IPI. An interrupt processor interrupt to the reader if it runs tickless, such that these readers restart the tick until it has notified its end of read side critical section. And if we are in user space, we are even more lucky because we have currently an existing feature that can exclude the CPU from the whole global RCU state machine. This is used in idle. When we stop the tick in idle, we put the CPU into a kind of RCU extended quiescent state, which means that it doesn't need anymore to keep its timer tick to notify the quiescent state. We just know that it's never in a RCU read side critical section as long as it's in the idle task. So the CPU 0 just checks that extended quiescent state and don't wait anymore from that CPU to get notified. So the good news is if we run in user space, we don't make use of RCU either. So we can also enter into this kind of RCU extended quiescent state and stop the tick in this case. What about process time accounting? So, you know, these things I have tried to show you but couldn't. So instead of pulling on the CPU and check on every tick where we are, if we are in user space or system space, and account the tick into the relevant target, now what we can do is hook into the kernel exit entry and then compute the time spent into each ring. So for example, when we stop the tick, we store the time when we did this. And then if we were in kernel space, we account all the system time that have been that we have consumed once we exit the kernel space. And we do about the same thing if we stop the tick in user space and we finally go back into the kernel, so we can account all this time into the user. And we have many other things to handle, because the timer tick handles many things. The global load tracking is handled by the timekeeping CPU. So this is fine as long as we keep one CPU with the timer tick to handle the timekeeping duty. Well, we have other things that are not very interesting. IRQ work, which is a system to execute functions in an interrupt context. This is implemented using a self API. We send an API to the current CPU such that it raises an interrupt and we execute the function inside. The problem comes when we don't have the self API implemented in the hardware. In this case, we have to hook into the timer interrupt. But this should only concern a few arcs that we don't really, a few architectures that we don't really care about. So this is fine, I think, for now, until somebody complains. Okay, there are other things not very interesting. I'm not even going to detail. The current status of this work, because we are trying to implement this and push this into the upstream kernel. So we have posted a version in August. It's a set of 32 patches. This is a real torture to review, really. And but we have I did more update on this patch set, so that you can find of this Git tree. And I think I'm going to release a new patch set soon. Okay.
Thank you very much. There's time for questions. Okay. That was the first at this side.
Hi. I'm wondering if your goal should this be the default, or could you imagine there's workloads where it's better to have the old Jiffy method, and there's workloads where it's better to have this method, the tickless method?
Yeah, so the problem is we don't know if stopping the tick adaptively like this is going to be more efficient in every case. We actually don't know. It's going to be more efficient in many known workloads, like HPC, for example. But the problem is that this introduces many hooks between kernel and user space, so it adds more overhead on the syscall path. So actually, we don't know if it's wise to enable it by default. So for now, I'm using an interface using CPU sets to define the set of CPUs we want to run tickless. But maybe in the end, if we don't know yet. Maybe this is going to become a default feature. Maybe. We need to test for different workloads.
At the very beginning, you mentioned that the main reason for using this tickless kernel is reducing the power consumption to save energy, basically. When thinking about low latency tasks, like in the financial world, where every microsecond counts, basically, what do you think? Is it still better to use the original way for the tick kernel, or is it maybe at some point better to use even tickless kernels in those situations?
Are you talking about the current feature in the upstream kernel with the tick stopped only in idle, right? I think it's Steve maybe could answer better on that. I think that on tickless kernels, the CPU enters into deep low power mode. And when the CPU is woken up, I think there is a some known latencies to exit this deep lower low power mode. So
if you have, like, especially in the real-time industry, we tell people to turn off trickless kernel. I say there's no merge where you go into the deep sleep state, which is very good. You're worried about power center or power consumption. But if you're worried about latencies, you can have a huge latency by when you to get out of the deep state, it takes as long as it did to get. Yeah, to keep the thing at least somewhat, don't let it get into deep sleep. And sometimes we say idle equals full, which is basically turn up the AC real high. That's what I mean. Okay.
So,
and kill all your green friends.
Perhaps I did not get some facts right, but if I have a uniprocessor system, I understand you in such a way that there must always be one CPU which has ticks. Yep. Is that right?
That's the problem, yeah. Because we need to keep one CPU for the time. This is an SMP feature, not for a uniprocessor. But maybe in the long term, we can remove the GFIS timestamp. Okay, it's really a long-term goal. It's not going to happen tomorrow, but... And if we use another way to retrieve the time of day, then maybe we could find a way to stop the tick on UP, uniprocessor, right?
You even mentioned real-time kernels, and I wonder if it is really tested and stable to combine real-time with tickless kernel.
So if this feature has been tested, is stable enough? For
real-time kernels.
No. Actually, it's even not stable for... it's not stable at all. It's really still in development stage. So, no, don't use it for production. Never. Not yet. One day, please, yeah.
Any further questions? So then, thanks again.